Hello and welcome to our service for the 28th of March 2021, Palm Sunday. Welcome to Bedhampton Parish. My name is Max Cross. I'm the church leader, the rector for Bedhampton. It's great to have you with us this Sunday. And before we dive into our celebration of the King arriving, let's take a moment just to share some of the things that are going on this week with you. As I said, today's Palm Sunday, which means we're heading into Holy Week. And normally, of course, we would be gathered as a church over Holy Week. This week, that's not possible. So we're going to have a few things going on this week that you might be able to engage with. On Wednesday, we'll be streaming our Holy Communion service as ever at 10 a.m. on Wednesday. And on Good Friday, we will stream an hour at the cross between 2 and 3 p.m. and available afterwards, as all of our service videos will be. An hour of reflection and scripture reading and other readings for you to reflect what it means when Jesus hangs on that cross for you and for I. And of course, one of the things that you can't miss out on this Holy Week is our Easter journey around St. Thomas's. Come and explore the Easter story around St. Thomas's this week. Similar to our Christmas journey, you can find the journey of Easter and understand why God loved you so much that he sent his son. And then at the end of the journey, there is a cross where you can bring your hopes for next year, where you can bring your sorrows for what's gone on perhaps during the last year. Maybe if you've lost someone, you want to bring a prayer in and pin it to or tie it to the cross. Maybe a ribbon that you want to tie to the cross, maybe a prayer. And indeed, there'll likely not only be a cross at St. Thomas's for you to do that with, but also in our Easter garden at St. Nicholas's. An opportunity for you to invite your neighbours, those of you you know in your family and love, who perhaps wouldn't normally come to a church building, but maybe at this point find themselves in need of reflecting on the last year. So there you go, there's a couple of things going on. Of course, next Sunday we'll be here celebrating the risen Lord on Easter Sunday as we look forward to that online and gathering afterwards for a cup of tea if you want to do that. Also, in addition, I want to let you know some good news. We, your leadership team here in Bedhampton, met this week in the Church Council, the PCC, and we supported the approach of returning to our church buildings at step two of the government's programme, which means that we will have our first services back in our buildings on the 18th of April. That will be at 9 a.m. at St. Nicholas's and at 11 a.m. at St. Thomas's on Bidbury Lane. Both of those will be Holy Communion as our first return together. And then we'll go back into our usual pattern of worship, which you can find on the website. So that's great news, isn't it? Back together on the 18th of April. No need to book in. However, you will need to wear a mask, and we will make a note of those who attend as per the government guidelines. So that's great news to return together. Of course, this service, the online service, will continue to be available on Sundays moving forward. This will become a permanent feature in our program as we move forward. Finally, before we continue our Sunday worship of Jesus, the King arriving, I want to remind you that starting on Easter Monday, we are working our way through the Bible. A thing that we call Bite-Sized Bible, where you can receive an email with a Bible reading each day, or you can have a paper copy of the readings for the day. And you can choose to either read through the Gospels in 1 year, or the Gospels and the New Testament in 1 year, or the Gospels and New Testament and the some wisdom books as well in 1 year, or indeed the whole Bible. Your choice. That's why we call it Bite-Sized Bible. And then we can gather in different ways to discuss what that means. No one made to feel silly. So we can gather on WhatsApp or just catch up with one another and say, did you read this reading this week? What did you think that meant? So Bite-Sized Bible. I would encourage you to sign up for that. By letting the office know that you want to receive them by email, if you want to receive them by email, or by picking up the Bite-Sized Bible sheets from St. Thomas's or the church buildings when we return. fantastic news as we work our way through these holy scriptures together. But of course, we're here today to gather, to celebrate, to wave our palms. So talking of which, if you've not picked up your palm cross, it's available for you in St. Thomas's. As we gather and we wave our palms, congratulating and welcoming in the King Jesus. Some words will appear on the screen for you to join in, and as I welcome you. Hosanna to the Son of David, the King of Israel. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. And our special prayer for Palm Sunday, the collect for Palm Sunday. Almighty and everlasting God, who in your tender love towards the human race sent your Son as our Saviour, Jesus Christ, to take upon him our flesh and to suffer death upon the cross. Grant that we may follow the example of his patience and humility and also be made partakers of his resurrection. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who is alive and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. And of course, one of the things that we receive because of what Jesus did on the cross is forgiveness for our sins. And so before we go into our sung worship, let us wipe the slate clean as the arriving King forgives us of our sins. A moment of silence for you to reflect upon your life and for me to reflect upon my life and come before the God who is keen to forgive us. Lord, we are too nervous to ask for help from one another. The master needs your donkey, but we're afraid to ask. Lord, we are afraid to give you what you ask. Help us realize that what we have is just a gift from you. Lord, we are too proud to lay our cares before you. Help us lay our cloaks on the colt, on the road, on your way. Lord, we have been quiet in our praise. Our shouts of Hosanna sound like mice whispering. Put palms in our hands. Help us in grace to stand. Lord, we have looked from the pinnacle of the temple, craving, protecting, and manipulating power. We have told you time and time again, make the crowds pipe down. Break our hearts of stone. Let us see your steadfast love and bring forth your kingdom in this place. Lord, forgive us for what we have not asked. Forgive us for what we have asked and for and not needed. For what we have kept that was needed, and for what we have given that was unjust. Hear the good news. Christ came riding a donkey of peace and reconciliation, not a charging war horse of judgment. In the name of Jesus Christ, you are forgiven. In the name of Jesus Christ, you are forgiven. Glory to God. Amen. And again, just before we enter into the celebration of sun worship, singing Hosanna to our King, let us hear from the Gospels that arrival as Anne gives us our Gospel reading today.
The reading is taken from Mark chapter 11, beginning at the first verse. As they approached Jerusalem and came to Bethpage and Bethany at the Mount of Olives, Jesus sent two of his disciples, saying to them, "Go to the village ahead of you, and just as you enter it, you will find a colt tied there, which no one has ever ridden. Untie it and bring it here. If anyone asks you why you are doing this, say, the Lord needs it, and will send it back here shortly. They went and found a colt outside in the street, tied at a doorway. As they untied it, some people standing there asked, what are you doing untying that colt? They answered as Jesus had told them to do, and the people let them go. When they brought the colt to Jesus and threw their cloaks over it, he sat on it. Many people spread their cloaks on the road, while others spread branches that they had cut in the fields. Those who went ahead and those who followed shouted, Hosanna! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed is the coming kingdom of our father David. Hosanna in the highest heaven. Jesus entered Jerusalem and went into the temple courts. He looked around at everything, but since it was already late, he went to Bethany with the 12. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Thank you, Anne. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord indeed. Let us sing Hosanna to our King. Fantastic. What better Sunday than Palm Sunday when we welcome the King to continue our story of what it means to be a disciple in Christ. Our Lent series of Discipleship Explored is where we are right now. And today we get to the point of understanding what it means to be transformed in Christ, to be transformed by this King Jesus that we see arriving today. And right now, Mike is going to read from Philippians for us. And then I shall introduce our speaker for the week.
It's from St. Paul's Epistle to the Philippians, chapter 3, verses 10 to 21. I want to know Christ and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of sharing in his sufferings, becoming like him in death. And so, somehow, to attain to the resurrection from the dead. Not that I've already obtained all this, or have already been made perfect, but I press on to take hold of that for which Christ Jesus took hold of me. Brothers, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it, but one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining towards what is ahead. I press on towards the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenwards in Christ Jesus. All of us who are mature should take such a view of things. And if on some point you think differently, that too God will make clear to you. Only let us live up to what we have already attained. Join with others in following my example, brothers, and take note of those who live according to the pattern we gave you. For, as I have often told you before, and now say again, even with tears, many live as enemies of the cross of Christ. Their destiny is destruction. Their God is their stomach, and their glory is their shame. Their mind is on earthly things, but our citizenship is in heaven. And we eagerly await a Saviour from there, the Lord Jesus Christ, who by the power that enables him to bring everything under his control, will transform our lowly bodies so that they will be like his glorious body. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Thank you for that, Mike. So what does it mean to be transformed in Christ? Well, I've asked Emily to explore that in our discipleship course, Discipleship Explored. Emily is on placement with us at the moment and has been for a little while. She's been helping me while we've not been in our church buildings, particularly to lead our Wednesday morning communions and explore with us in that Discipleship Explored. So Emily is going to be exploring that with us, and hopefully as we return to our church buildings, you can catch up with her physically and say hello. So what does it mean to be transformed in Christ?
Good morning, everyone. I love going on a long car journey. My family and I often travel to Wales to visit my grandparents. It's a 4-hour drive on a good one. I love spending those few days before writing my list of all the things I need to take and then inevitably forgetting something. And then ringing my family to say that we're leaving soon, getting in the car with a big bag of my favourite sweets and a few well-chosen CDs, timing our set-off so that we hit McDonald's right around lunchtime. And after that long drive, pulling into my grandparents' driveway and bouncing up and down with excitement, Oh, it's so much fun. I can't wait to be able to do it again. In our gospel reading today, we heard about Jesus going on a journey into Jerusalem. He tells his disciples to go and get a donkey to fulfill the prophecy that the Messiah would enter Jerusalem riding on a donkey. But it wasn't just to fulfill the prophecy. It was also a way for Jesus to show his status. He is king. Traditionally, a king would ride a horse into battle, but a donkey if he came in peace. Jesus was showing the people of Jerusalem that he was a humble, suffering servant by choosing to ride a donkey. However, unfortunately, his destination isn't quite as exciting as me visiting my family. This is the beginning of the end of Jesus's earthly ministry. But on this journey around him, his followers spread their cloaks and palm branches on the road, celebrating and singing, "Hosanna! Hosanna! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed is the coming kingdom of our ancestor David. Hosanna in the highest heaven." Let's just break that down. What does that mean? Many people think that the word Hosanna is a word of praise, but actually the Hebrew word is Hoshiana, meaning save, please. The people are crying, "Save us." Then they say, "Hosanna in the highest heaven." The crowd knows that Jesus is the Son of God, the King of the heavens. And then they cry, "Blessed is the coming of our ancestor David." So they acknowledge that Jesus is the Messiah, as they believed the Messiah would come from the line of David, but he is also the Son of God. Mark, the writer of this passage, wants us to understand that the crowd saw Jesus as both divine and human. So the crowd around Jesus are crying out to the man they believe is their Messiah to save them. But to save them from what? From the Romans? Jesus did not come to defeat the Romans, as we know. He came to sacrifice himself, and in doing so, defeat death. Jesus rode into Jerusalem on that donkey because he is a servant, not a warrior. In the past few weeks, we've been on a journey together, exploring what it is to be a disciple of Christ, following the wide words from Paul's letter to the Philippians. This week, we are looking at being transformed in Christ. The word transform literally means to change form. So to be a disciple of Christ, we have to change. The word repent, translated in Greek, is metanoia, meaning turn away. We are called to turn away from our way of thinking and follow Christ. Only then can we be transformed. In verse 17, Paul asks the people in Philippi to follow his example. Now, that seems a little strange, doesn't it? Why ask them to follow his example and not Jesus's? What we have to remember is that at the time these letters were written, the New Testament didn't exist yet. What the people in Philippi did have was the life and the character of the man who was about to write half of it. Now Paul says in verse 10, "I want you to know Christ and the power of his resurrection and the sharing of his sufferings by becoming like him in his death." Jesus was so precious to Paul, and he will do anything, whatever it takes, to know Jesus and become more like him. And Paul knows that the only way we can become like Christ is through suffering. Paul gave up everything to follow Christ. He had no home to call his own. He travelled endlessly from place to place, sharing the good news of the gospel, never complaining, even when he was arrested and imprisoned. but Paul didn't say it would be easy. In verse 13, he encourages us to forget what is behind and strain toward what is ahead. He acknowledges that to follow Christ is a journey of faith. Sometimes we can get hung up on our mistakes and they can hold us back. Paul particularly had many reasons to regret his past. Before his transformation on the road to Damascus, Paul worked tirelessly to destroy the church. He was a persecutor and a violent man. He even approved the stoning of Stephen. But he tells us that as believers, we can forget what is behind, because we know that we are forgiven. That, I think, is the reason Paul loves Jesus so much. After all he did, Jesus still forgave him. Jesus allowed himself to be destroyed so that we could be forgiven. As we are talking about being transformed in Christ this week in our Discipleship Explored course, let us quickly turn our attention to Paul's transformation on the road to Damascus. Paul was a man who was full of hate and evil when Jesus appeared to him in that vision. Paul was not transformed by any actions of his own, but by the grace of Jesus. Ephesians chapter 2 verses 8 to 9 says, "For by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not your own doing. It is the gift of God, not the result of works, so that no one may boast." But does that mean that we can live our lives how we want, and it doesn't matter because Jesus already died to save us? I don't think so. It is through Jesus' life among us, his teachings, his actions, his warning, his encouragements, that we have a chance to really get to understand what he was like and how he wants us to live out our lives. Yes, we are forgiven because of the journey Jesus made to the cross, where he sacrificed himself for us. A journey that started on that first Palm Sunday 2,000 years ago. But what Jesus' life shows us is that transformation of ourselves and our society doesn't happen through violence. It happens through self-sacrifice, as he demonstrated by riding into Jerusalem peacefully on a donkey rather than a warrior on a horse. When Paul is writing to the Philippians, he refers to enemies of the cross, where he says their gods are in their stomachs. He is suggesting that these people want to consume everything around them. These are the greedy ones, the ones only interested in earthly things, those whose journeys are ultimately heading for destruction. But Paul says, we are citizens of heaven. He points us to our Saviour. Jesus gave up heaven to come to earth. The Lord of the universe gave up power and glory for the life of a poor man who only had the clothes on his back, and even those were taken from him at the cross. Jesus points us to a life of self-sacrifice, not of power and greed, and having to have the latest gadget or the latest fashion. The path of transformation is not the path of gaining, but the path of choosing to lose everything and obtaining eternal life with Christ. So over the next few days, as we enter into Holy Week, I encourage you to go on that journey with Jesus, not the journey of wealth and greed, but the road of self-sacrifice, of simplicity, and of peace. Amen.
Thank you, Emily, for that challenging reflection on this Palm Sunday as we head into Holy Week. And of course, it's a journey that we're going to have. And rather than just rush through into the rest of our service together, I thought it'd be good at this point to reflect on Palm Sunday, but also to reflect on that challenge from Emily. What are we going to sacrifice? What simplicity and peace are we going to enter into this week? So I'm going to ask Susie to come up and read for us a Palm Sunday reflection, a poem, if you will, during which I'll ask you maybe if it's helpful to close your eyes and to just reflect on the self-sacrifice, the simplicity and peace that you might enter into this week, and what you are going to do as a response to the love Jesus has for you.
Now to the gate of my Jerusalem, the seething holy city of my heart. The Saviour comes, but will I welcome him? Oh, crowds of easy feelings make a start. They raise their hands, get caught up in the singing, and think the battle won. Too soon they'll find the challenge, the reversal he is bringing. Changes their tune. I know what lies behind. The surface flourish that quickly fades. Self-interest and fearful guardedness. The hardness of the heart. Its barricades. And at the core, the dreadful emptiness of a perverted temple. Jesus, come. Break my resistance and make me your home.
A little more silence to reflect upon that, and then Susie and I will say our prayers this week. Let's enter into prayer.
Thank you, Lord, for the life you have given us, for the sun that rises each morning to begin a brand new day, for all the creation you have made that surrounds us. Let us remember that when Jesus eventually came to earth, he watched the same sunrise and saw the same wonders as us. He looked into the stars in the sky and now looks down upon us, prayerfully and with love. With grateful hearts we praise you, Lord, for who we are and who we are in you. Let the peace of Christ's Palm Sunday entrance remain in our thoughts. Jesus's entry on that day is a reminder of the unexpected, yet fully anticipated King of Kings. Jesus did not look like the Messiah everyone was expecting. They were waiting for a military conqueror. But Jesus rode in on a donkey, a sign of peace and fulfillment of prophecy.
And Lord, as we enter into our prayers and we pray wherever we are right now, would your Spirit guide us? Might our prayers be a reflection of your will for our lives?
Father, we lift the world to you and all that's going on with the pandemic, Lord.
Thank you.
Father, we just ask for real quick and enough vaccines for everyone to be vaccinated in the UK and worldwide, Lord. Mm-hmm. Not forgetting the poorest countries, Father.
Yes, Lord.
We ask for you to be in the centre of this vaccination process.
Thank you, Father. Yeah, Lord, we lift to you those who are working in situations around the world, whether that's through our armed forces or through missionaries, where perhaps they cannot be as safe as they would like to be at this point. Perhaps where they have to weigh the dangers of COVID versus the dangers of not being there at all. We pray for your protection around them and for your blessing upon them.
And Father, we lift our government to you. Mm. Lord, we just ask for your wisdom and your peace on them as they make the difficult decisions as what to do next, to lift lockdown, to not lift lockdown, to let life return to normal. And Lord, we do lift all the businesses that have suffered during this time.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. Yeah. We pray, Lord, particularly for those who find themselves out of work now, praying for your blessing upon them as they seek to find employment again, as they seek to provide for themselves and perhaps for their families. Lord, we want to lift you as well. Our police and those who serve in the NHS, those who serve in our communities, praying for your protection upon them this Easter.
And Lord, we lift those who are sick and who are lonely. Mm. Father, sickness is never good, but those that are lonely often go missed and suffer in silence, Father. And Lord, all of those people that have had to make difficult decisions on who to bubble with and who not to, Lord, we ask for your peace on them.
Thank you.
But Father, we do ask that you let each person that is lonely, Lord, that hasn't seen anybody, that hasn't been out for months, Lord, that they get to know you and they know that you are with them.
Thank you, Father.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank you. And we lift to you, Lord, those we know of who we miss in our church family. We think of Bernard and we think of Pat and others, Lord. We dearly miss Olive, Lord. We pray for her family again. Lord, we miss the community of your church people. Would you bless us? Would you nudge us through your spirit where it's appropriate to make contact?
Much of our daily lives and the world around us doesn't align with what we expect. So much of our lives don't make sense. Help us, Lord, this Palm Sunday to remember and to embrace the unexpected entrance of Jesus, our Lord and Saviour, our Prince of Peace. He came to bring us peace. How quickly we often forget the peace we have in Jesus. As we navigate through these difficult and unexpected times in our lives, Lord, remind us minute by minute, day by day, that we need peace to live the life to the full. Let us look to our Prince of Peace. Amen.
Amen. And we lift these prayers and the prayers that you were praying during that time to our Lord as we say together the prayer that Jesus taught us. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen. And now we sing that song, Praise My Soul, the King of Heaven.
Thank you.
Well, as we come to the end of our Palm Sunday service together, let me remind you that in a moment, some of us will be gathering on Zoom for a cup of coffee and a catch-up. Let me remind you that you can collect your palm crosses from St. Thomas's this week. And also let me remind you to explore that Easter journey and the Easter gardens, both at St. Thomas's and St. Nicholas's. Share that with your neighbours, share that with your friends. There are many, many people who just need that moment of coming before God right now. Bring your prayers on the journey and at the end, hang them upon the cross. Bring your ribbons of sorrow to the journey and at the end, tie them to the cross. Do share that with as many people as you can that they might know the love of Jesus this Holy Week as we enter into Easter. And so as we go, may the blessing of God, who resides in our hopes and dreams, grant us peace. May the blessing of Jesus, who rides to our wild acclaim and waving palm branches, grant us peace. May the blessing of the Spirit, who holds us through our fears and our nightmares, grant us peace on this Palm Sunday and through the events of the Holy Week to the cross of Good Friday, looking for the hopes and the dreams and the dawning of Easter morning. And the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be among us and remain with us always. Amen. As you journey this Holy Week, journey with Jesus.